Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble holding down the fort while Aaron Flint travels to Las Vegas for the UFC 300. Honored to have special guests on the phones, calling all the way from Washington, D.C. We've got Congressman Ryan Zinke. Congressman Zinke, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be with you as always. Washington, D.C. remains a little frustrating, but I'm a ragging optimist. We'll get through it as long as everyone works together and focuses on the mission ahead.
Well, I'll tell you, Congressman Zinke, I'm looking out here from the 23rd floor of the DoubleTree Hotel in Billings, and we've got perfectly blue skies. I can see the Beartooth Mountains rising in the distance, and it's going to be a beautiful spring day here in Montana.
Well, I'm on the plane tonight. Can't wait to get back to Whitefish and smell some of that Montana air. It's a heck of a lot better than what's here right now.
Right. Well, so tell us, what the heck is going on in D.C. with Congress and all this FISA talk and everything else?
Well, here's the issue with FISA. So FISA is Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It is important. And there's a scale, Dave. There's on one side is absolute individual rights, freedom. On the other side is we'll look at everything for defense. And where that scale in my mind ends is the Constitution. Look, if the Constitution was set up to make sure that the government has restraints placed upon it and doesn't violate individual freedoms, particularly, you know, personal papers. And look, when there is a probable cause, a warrant, that's fine. But look, the government doesn't have the right to look through your personal papers. And even though it's collected overseas, in my mind, when that collection leads to the front door of a U.S. citizen, an address, then at that point in time, I think you need a warrant and probable cause in order to go further. So then there's a cutout if there's an extremist where, you know, danger close, imminent destruction, then you can bypass that. But that's by exception and not by rule. And I think we all know the government has abused its collection efforts, not FISA, but on others, spying on the president. And look, this information is collected overseas, but it doesn't, you know, it's on the internet. It doesn't have made in the USA on it. It's just, you know, we go through, we collect all this information. But again, when it boils down to that information leads to the door of a U.S. citizen residing in the U.S., then you better have probable cause and a warrant.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of the Constitution is to recognize that when the federal government has a lot of power, it's going to be abused, because guess what? That's human nature. This is one thing that communists never understood was basic human nature. We're up against the break, but we're going to come back to Congressman Zinke right after this. This is David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're talking to Congressman Ryan Zinke, and we've got Susan in Missoula that wants to jump in on the conversation. Susan, what did you want to add?
Hey, Ryan, this is Susan Renault. I want to just say thank you. We're going to have a big event in Missoula at the University of Montana Ballroom on the 28th of April, and I really appreciate your support of it.
Well, yeah, the event's going to have Don Jr. Featured. Don, it's going to be a great event. And he's got a lot of energy and a lot of great things to say. So I'm looking forward to that, Susan. And always good to be in Montana and in Missoula. Well, Missoula, you know, you got to love the home of the Grizz, right? For a lot of reasons, and there's some good things happening in Missoula. I think Seth Bodner, the Special Forces President of Missoula, of the Grizz are doing great things. So I look forward to being at the event, and we'll make sure we'll put it on our website, and should be a great event, Susan. We're looking forward to helping you with it.
So, Congressman, I just saw something on X about a vote actually today on this FISA deal. Is that true? Are there actually votes going on today?
There is. I'm sitting actually talking to you from the parking lot of the Capitol. I'll go up the steps here in a little while to vote. But, you know, my vote rests with the Constitution. There's some things I don't bend on. I don't bend on the Constitution. And if we have to bend, then look at the process of the FISA court itself, look at surveillance. You know, we can move that. But to me, the Constitution remains firm. And if it's a violation, especially on individual rights and freedoms, I'm going to defend and support the Constitution as I've always done.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. I mean, the idea of having the intelligence agencies to have this power of a warrantless search of Americans' communications, and their theory is, from what I can tell, is, hey, if you're talking to somebody overseas, you know, we need to know what's going on. The problem is that lots of people talk to lots of people overseas for lots of business reasons, and I don't think that should subject them to warrantless searches, especially as you mentioned, when we've seen abuses in the past, spying on Trump, for example.
Well, there's a difference between going fishing and going hunting, isn't there? Going fishing is they're just fishing. And when you're hunting a specific target, right? So if you're gonna look at a specific target, and again, and that's a U.S. citizen residing in the United States, then you better get a warrant. You better have probable cause, because the government shouldn't be fishing.
Well, I appreciate that. I know you got to get off and get into that vote. Any other kind of comments or closing remarks you want to make?
You know, I know there's a lot of frustration. There was frustration yesterday. Again, we had some that are voting against a rule. You know, and a little bit of procedure. If you vote against the rule, then the amendments, don't get included. So FISA itself, the bill, and I was on the floor with Jim Jordan, and Jim Jordan and I are looking at the votes, and Jim and I are aligned on this. Absolutely. I mean, look, you got to vote for the rule so we can put the amendment on. But some members have gotten used to voting no against everything, and they should read a little closer. But I think we'll get through it. I'm hopeful that the amendment will pass, the Constitution will be supported, and then we can vote for the FISA bill. Again, it's not perfect, but when it comes down to the Constitution of the United States, that's the document that we all draw our wisdom and our nation from.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. And, I haven't seen anything that's not fixable. So, take a deep breath. The good thing is, you're in Montana, right?
Right.
So the good thing is, enjoy the weekend, Montana, and enjoy the spring, and God bless America.
Amen. Thanks so much. Good to have Congressman Zinke on Montana Talks. Now we've got open phones for the rest of the 9 o'clock hour. Had a lot of guests on for the first part of this show. We started out with Auditor Troy Downing was in the studios talking to us. We ended up talking to Grover Norquist with Americans for Tax Reform. We talked to there are two candidates for the Montana Supreme Court, Corey Swanson and Judge Dan Wilson, not running against each other, both running for different seats, but those are super important. And it's just been a great show so far. I haven't even had a chance to really dig into, kind of the news of the day, talking a lot about Tim Sheehy, of course, because this Democrat full-on attack on Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. Honestly, one of the things actually that a lot of people oftentimes say about me when they hear me talking politics, particularly with Democrats and leftists, which I do quite a bit online on my twitch.tv live stream and my YouTube channel, is they'll say, wow, it's amazing, David, that you can talk and debate these issues without getting angry. And that has been historically one of my strengths, and one of the reasons is because I've specifically focused on doing that, because one of the reasons people don't like to talk about politics is because the emotion and the anger that often comes into it. And I've always just believed it's so important for us as citizens to talk about politics with each other and to be informed and to debate issues and ideas. I think that's our duty. I mean, I really do believe as citizens in a constitutional republic, we have a duty to be informed, to talk through these issues, to debate these issues, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll tell you what they're doing to Tim Sheehy had me so angry recently that I actually kind of lost my cool in debating a Democrat on this issue, because I find it absolutely vile and disgusting that they would accuse Tim Sheehy of doing what they're accusing him of doing when they have no basis to do so, attacking him for decisions he made in combat in Afghanistan is horrible. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble doing my best here to fill in for Aaron Flint, but ended up cutting off Corey Swanson because I didn't time that right, ran out of things to ask the PBR folks, and then Travis comes in and tells me, actually, Congressman Zinke actually still has a few minutes here. Congressman Zinke, are you still there?
I am indeed.
So I gotta ask you, especially particularly with your military experience and what these leftists are doing and these Democrats are doing to Tim Sheehy and trying to attack him for decisions he made in combat in Afghanistan and for decisions he made to try to protect his men. I don't know if you've been following that story, but like I said right before the break, I don't get angry a lot about stuff, but what they're trying to do to Tim Sheehy has me pretty fired up.
Look, yeah, he's just not a veteran. He's a Navy SEAL veteran, combat Navy SEAL veteran. I know Tim very, very well. Am I surprised? No, because they're just trying to change the narrative away from John Tester. You know, campaign John and John are two different people. Everyone, I think people are beginning to recognize that. So they're trying to pick on Tim. They're calling it, all, you know, shady she. You know, all these adolescent things, because the bottom line is Tim Sheehy is a phenomenal candidate. We need new leadership in the United States Senate. There's a reason why Gene Forte, myself, Steve Daines, the list goes on and on and on, Matt Rosendale, all endorse him, because Sheehy's a real thing.
Yeah.
So, yep. You know, and the other thing I was going to mention about FISA, you know, I hear the administration, you know, in the intelligence community. Well, if they were really concerned about national security, you know what they would address? The border.
Right.
You can't have a zero border. I was just down there. But let me share like two minutes about what the heck's going on at the border. If the people come across, you say, I live in fear. They're immediately processed. They're not returned anywhere. They're processed. They're given clean clothes. You know, a meal, get sleep, and then they get this piece of paper. They go to the hospital where if they're suffering for anything, that's fixed on your taxpayer dollars. And then they're given a piece of paper that says, hey, show up for adjudication on asylum years from now. And they're given a bus ticket or a plane ticket, and they're somewhere in the U.S. We don't know who these people are, because we don't have a database of prisons in Guatemala. So, you know, and there are hundreds of people on the terrorist watch list that have come across here. And if we were really concerned about national security, that would be job one, is secure our border and secure our nation. But they're wrapped around the axle about spying on American citizens. So, you know, we need a change of administrations.
Yeah, you know, I'm rifling through my papers here. I know that there was a story just recently about a somebody that was on the terrorist watch list that got released into the country by the Biden administration, and I'm not finding it right now, but basically,
it was an Afghan that was involved in the killing of eight U.S. citizens on there, but. He was brought in. They didn't catch him. He was arrested, released by a judge. Now, but well, look. Let's be honest. We have hundreds of terrorists, sleeper cells that are in this country. And on this point, I agree with the FBI director. But we have millions of people. We don't know who they are. Because, again, I love when the government says we're going to use this metadata. Well, that sounds great, but if the database doesn't have anything in it because we don't list or have records of who was in prison, you know, and who's doing, you know, who's in the cartel, then they're not going to show up and they're just let in. So, you know, again, I think a number one issue is the border. I think closely followed is our ineptitude, this administration's ineptitude overseas to either gather intelligence, see the intelligence, or act. You know, we can begin with Afghanistan, you know, following through Ukraine. Israel's on fire, no plan. We don't have a plan in Venezuela. And China's measuring the drapes in Taiwan. So it's time for the Biden administration to say goodbye and someone who can lead this country to step up.
So I heard, though, that the crime rate in Venezuela is going down because all the criminals have left Venezuela and are now in the United States. So I guess that's good news for Venezuela. I mean, do we not care about the Venezuelan crime rate?
Well, yeah, there's probably nothing left to steal. So, you know.
Right. That's what happens with socialism.
Well, you know, what a big point that people miss is, look, there's hundreds of thousands of people that have filled out the right form, you know, done the application, have been vetted, that are would be great to have on board. But, you know, they're in line waiting while we put illegal immigration to the front. As a country, we have to respect the law. And we have to incentivize people doing the right thing and decentivize people doing illegal activity. And it seems like this administration is just doing the opposite. So follow the law, process in third country, no more catch and release, let ICE do their job, and let our great Border Patrol on the northern border as well do their job.
Amen. Amen to that. Well, hey, Congressman, we've got some callers on the line. I don't know if you've got
to
run.
I would love to. You know, I love taking calls because, look, if you can't defend the thesis, and you know what, I work for Montana. So, look, citizens of Montana, you know, give me a question. If I don't know, I'll find the answer.
Okay, let's go to, let me see if I can do this right. All right, let's go to Jason in Polson. Jason, what did you want to say?
Well, a couple years ago, I was at the Ronan Community Center, and Ryan Zinke, he told me that if I voted for him, that he would defund and drain the swamp. So I was just wanted to ask him why he voted to increase the spending, the $886 billion spending for the National Defense Act that actually doesn't defund anything.
I would love to address that. So this president has full authority to shut down the border. He chooses not to. He's funded to shut down the border. He chooses not to. The thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to let this country lose a war. Because look, we got Ukraine spring coming, which we're $130 billion into it, no plan, no objectives. We got Israel on fire, all coming from Iran, by the way. And what are we doing? We're launching rockets and porta potties in the desert and not hitting the target. We got Venezuela on fire, and we got obviously China and Taiwan. The thing I will not do is I will not let our military suffer by having a CR. And what a CR does, a continuing resolution, is that you're not allowed to make adjustments for fire. And remember, they're operating on a two-year-old bill. So what's changed in 2 years? Everything. We didn't have Ukraine 2 years ago. We didn't have China where they are. We didn't have Venezuela. We didn't have Israel. So our U.S. forces and our Montana service members deserve everything they need to make sure we win a war decisively. And our position as a country, so you know, we can fight one major regional conflict at one time and hold in the other. We are not configured for what this administration has put us in the bind. So, yeah, there's a lot in that bill I hate it. There's a lot in that bill I vehemently hate it. But I will not ever allow U.S. to lose on the battlefield. And thanks for your question and call.
Okay, let's go to Amber in Billings. I don't know if, Amber, if your call was anything specific to Congressman Zinke, but go ahead, Amber, with whatever you wanted to say, and we'll get Congressman Zinke's response.
Hey, awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, this is Amber Newman, and I am representing the Don't Mess With Our Kids movement. We are a grassroots movement who will be hosting an event tomorrow in Helena at the state capitol from 12:30 to 3. We're going to have Kim Walker Smith leading our worship, and we are just taking a stand for our kids and praying together for our nation to turn back to God and looking to encourage reformation in our society that aligns with our values. So just wanted to extend the invite for anyone that would love to join us.
Awesome, Amber. Well, thank you so much.
God bless you.
Yeah, go ahead, Congressman.
Well, God bless you. And just so you know where I stand, look, boys should play boy sports. Girls should play girl sports. That's it.
Pretty basic.
The idea that you're going to have men playing girl sports is not Montana. So, you know, let's make sure that the kids have an opportunity to excel and lay the woke off in the classroom.
Amen. Amen to that. Let's go to Perry in Columbus. Perry, what did you want to add?
Good morning, David. You know, I was going to talk about the Supreme Court, but since we've got Representative Zinke still on the phone, I'll bounce a little something off of him. For the listeners out there, I want everybody to realize that politics is like making sausage. It's a messy business, and sometimes you have to bend a little like the willow instead of busting like the elm branch. And Congressman Zinke, I think you're doing a pretty darn good job out there, especially considering you've got Western slope liberals to get some votes from to keep the office. And that is the prize, is putting Republicans in office and keeping them there so we can actually send the senile sock puppet home and take the gavel away from Chuck Schumer. That's job one for us. So thank you for your service, sir.
I appreciate that. You know, and as a representative, you know, you represent everybody in your district. So, you know, I represent those that voted for me. But I also represent those people that don't vote for me, and I represent the people who never vote for me. So it doesn't mean I'm going to agree with it, but I'll listen. And sometimes, you know, if you listen to go to the front line, you learn a lot. So that's why I spend a lot of time with the county commissioners. I think they're on the front line. And I think it's a responsibility to go out there as a representative. You know, meet with the county commissioners and to the degree possible, make sure you're aligned with their goals and objectives, because they're on the front line in Montana, and that makes a difference.
We're up against another break here. Talking to Congressman Zinke, I'm not sure if he's going to be able to stick with us here through one more break, but if so, we'll talk to him. David Noble in for Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Yesterday, USDA released the April World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates Report. In the 2023 through 24 U.S. corn outlook is for greater corn use for ethanol, feed, and residual use, with no supply changes and use rising, ending stocks dropped by 50 million bushels, 2.1 million. Season average farm price was also lowered by a nickel to $4.70 a bushel. As for wheat, lower supplies, reduced domestic use, and unchanged exports, along with higher ending stocks, was seen. That was raised 25 million bushels to come out at 698 million, 22% above last year. The season average farm price for wheat was down a nickel at $7.10 a bushel. And yesterday, just under 900 head of cattle sold at Dillon Livestock Auction, and the trend was steady for feeder cattle, with the 5 to 6 weight steers 294 to 312, with the 6 to 7 weight steers 280 to 387. Bred cows 6 to 8 years old saw a price of $2,300 up to $2,500, while middle-aged cow-calf pairs priced at $2,667 up to $3,025. Short-term cow-calf pairs $2,150 to $2,761. And slaughter cows were going for $114 to $132. I'm Lane Northland.
Attention.
State of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So I've been able to hold off on eating Aaron's Ideal Protein chips that he's got here under the desk. I've been looking at them all morning. They're still there, though, folks. But we got open phones the rest of the hour here, and let's go to one of the favorite callers. We got Ken in Great Falls. Ken, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's about the border.
Hey, we're having a hard time hearing. We're having a hard time hearing you. Can you take it off speaker, please?
I'm on my hearing aids. I'll try going to phone.
All this new technology. Can
much
you hear me
better.
Now?
Much, much better. Thank you.
Okay. The point is, you know, we had a compromise vote in the Senate, Democrats and Republicans, and everybody hates it, to fix the border, because the border needs to be fixed. And that's how this country works best. And then we have this dictator that wants to wait and fix it himself from his royal seat. You know, when you're out in a boat and you hit a log and you got three big holes in the boat and you have enough material to fix two of them, you fix the two of them and then you try to get to shore and fix the third one. That's what's going on, but that's what we need to do. Why? You know, this country works best when it's compromised, and that's what the Democrats and Republicans in the Senate are trying to do, and Biden. And, you know, we have asylum because we're a Christian. We have Christians in this nation that want their morals. Our Lord himself, when he was born, Joseph was approached by an angel and said, you have to seek asylum in Egypt, because Herod's going to try and kill the baby. And so that's in our blood as Christians. That when people come and seek asylum, we try to help them. Now, the point that this compromise is from the Senate is instead of people coming in here and being here for 6 years before they get a trial, we're trying to get it so that they get their trial and then it's decided within 6 months, maybe down to 6 weeks. You know, because 80% of them don't receive asylum. They have to head out. So we got to fix the holes in the boats, man. We got to work together. We have to find a compromise and get the stuff done.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Ken. Got a lot of things that you said there that I obviously would take issue with. First, it wasn't a compromise. It was a bill to basically legalize what Biden has been doing, allowing this completely wide open border. First and second, most of those, almost all of these asylum claims are complete fraudulent asylum claims. They're admitted economic migrants. There's a big Wall Street Journal piece just recently about how this is all just fraud and abuse. These illegal aliens are lying to the American government and claiming asylum when they're nothing more than economic migrants that don't qualify for asylum at all. And then they're coming into this country and they're disregarding the hearing dates. And then they're staying here illegally. And it's got nothing to do with actual asylum, valid asylum claims. These are fraudulent, illegal asylum claims. That's what we're dealing with here. Let's go to Mark in Fort Benton. Mark, thanks for calling.
Well, hello. I'm glad you're having the show on behalf of Aaron. And I want to say thanks for Ryan Zinke's service in our U.S. Congress. But I am still concerned, as I've mentioned to Aaron once or so, that I fear our election being rigged or cheated on when they harvest ballots, and especially the swing states, and we lose even though we have more votes legitimately. But we lose because they count them in their own fashion and count later and count them. So I don't know how the Republican Party can join together to prevent that in our state, maybe, but especially in the swing states with larger populations that they aren't able to manage the counting as closely as we do here in Montana. Now, I'd like your thoughts on that, please.
Well, I pretty much agree. I mean, I pretty much agree with that. The problem is, of course, is that it becomes very, very difficult to actually ensure that these elections are done properly when you've got the rules in place that we have. And so when you've got, you know, millions of ballots just being sent out into the world and then they're being returned over the course of a month and a half, we no longer have election day, no longer have voter ID laws, no longer have voter rolls that are appropriately cleaned up. So it becomes very, very difficult to actually ensure it. I mean, if you have election rules in place where it's like, look, everybody has to show up in person on election day, show a voter ID, they have to be registered in advance, they have to prove that they're a citizen when they register, and they have to have a photo ID when they vote, and they go in and they go into a secure area where they're given the ballot, they put it in the box and they leave, and you don't have a system that we have now. If you have that, then being a poll watcher, you know, is actually effective because you're there and you're watching the entire process. You know, being a poll watcher on election day when you've got an election season that lasts a month or 2 months and you've got millions of ballots just floating out there in society, nobody looking, and you've got paid ballot harvesters going door to door, picking up, and then they're showing up at drop boxes at the election office with big, huge trunkfuls and truckfuls of ballots that they went and harvested. How is anybody supposed to verify that? And so I think one of the solutions is to try to basically extend poll watching beyond just election day and beyond just counting the votes. But we need live video online of every drop box, of every place where mail-in ballots come in. We need to change the rules to get rid of some of these practices that are completely so unsecured that places around the world won't even do it as bad. Big issue. Obviously, we got a long ways to go to get into a good spot on that. Let's go to Mario in Glendive. Mario, thanks for calling.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
I'm mad as hell. Okay. Listen, I have a problem with the judges, okay? They're turning criminal, the bad guys, and to the street, and they end up killing a cop. You know, like it happened last night at 2 o'clock in the morning in Memphis. They just turned these guys loose, and last night he killed a cop, he injured two others, and I think it happened last week in New York too, or a couple of weeks ago. But I think the judges should be held accountable for this. Maybe they will be tougher on crime. You follow me?
Totally.
Okay, that's all I want to say.
I think I'm with you, and I think most Montanans are with you. So thank you so much for the call, Mario. I mean, you got an entire party in America, the Democrat Party, that they want the criminals be released out on the street. They want people to be released without bail. You've seen them put those rules in place in these blue states all across the country. And Mario's right. The result is that violent criminals get simply released back out onto the street to go and commit more crimes. And at what point will the American people finally stop voting for Democrats? That's the solution. Let's go to Willie in Paradise Valley. Willie, thanks for calling.
Yeah, it's interesting when the folks call in, like the fella from Great Falls, though, about they like to pull different quotes out of the Bible and use Christianity for this and that when it serves their purpose, but when it doesn't, then it's like the abortion issue and all that too, then they go south with that. But the thing is about these borders and stuff, if you read the Bible, there's Nehemiah had to go back and rebuild the walls and stuff too, so I don't know where they're coming across with you know, everybody's supposed to come in here because we're supposed to be a Christian nation, which we're supposed to be, but everybody that seeks asylum, we already know that. Ken evidently don't know that they're releasing their murderers and rapists and the bad people out of these different countries, and they're sending them here. So him wanting to make a issue with religion or whatever to pull that into this equation is not the way he's looking at it is not right.
Well, so, Willie, one thing I decided a long, long time ago is that I don't listen to atheists tell me about what the Bible says or means, period. No atheist is going to lecture me on religion.
Exactly. You know, you're exactly right. But, I mean, there's nothing in the scriptures that says you're supposed to let people run over top of you and kill you and those type of things. These people, I don't know, like I said, they just like to use the religion when it fits their purpose, so.
Right, which you're welcome. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. No, it's one of my, I mean, it really is one of my pet peeves is when an atheist tries to use the Bible to attack Christians. It's something Democrats do all the time. all the time. These Democrats will use scripture to attack Christians nonstop. And Frank, I think it's evil. I mean, what else would you call, if you're an atheist and you're trying to use scripture and biblical quotes to try to attack Christians, I find that to be one of the most reprehensible things out there. Let's go to, well, we're going to go to Aaron in Three Forks here, but I'm hearing the music. We're headed towards a break here, almost already towards the 10 o'clock hour here. So we'll be right back, but we're going to go to Aaron and Three Forks right after this. This is David Noble in for Aaron Flint.
Yo. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble holding down the fort here for Aaron while he's out. Let's go to Aaron in Three Forks. Aaron, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I think Ken was right, and I understand exactly why he brought up God and Joseph, because government is Ken's God. And so I think it is a fair analysis, you know, to compare the two. Where I disagree with Ken is that government is God and can bring people in or destroy a country or, you know, all the things that Biden's doing. I don't think Biden has that authority. Biden was given a job to represent this the people of this country and to do what was best for the people of this country. And bringing all these people in is not best. I work with the guy over here. I'm not going to say what business. Well, I did work during the winter. And he was complaining about doing the same job in Washington State because it was full of Mexicans and it was only paying $14 an hour. And over here, he's getting $23.30 an hour. And I said, well, that's going to change in a couple of years. Once all these Mexicans get legalized, they're going to start working. And then the manager of this store is going to have all these applications to go through. And then you're going to be getting the same $14 an hour here. Yep. He's a huge liberal. And he's like, no, that's never going to happen. They can't get rid of me after my 90-day probationary period. And I said, oh, they've got a lot of high-paid attorneys to figure out how they can get rid of you, sir. And, you know, these people just don't get it. You know, I think the conservatives have proven how to raise minimum wage. We did it during Bakken. We did it under Trump. You can't get a job. You can't. Nobody will work for 8, 10, 12, 13, whatever the minimum wage is in Bozeman. You know, you got to pay somebody $25 an hour just to get them to go to work. $23 an hour, $20 an hour. You ain't going much lower than that. So we figured out how to fix the minimum wage, and then Biden, he's just going to destroy that. He's going to tear it apart. And these people don't get it. Ken doesn't get it.
You know, you're right. I mean, it's basic supply and demand. Actually, to your points there, Aaron, thanks for the call. Great points. You're just talking basic economics, supply and demand. In fact, I took economics when I was at the University of Montana. In fact, I actually took enough economics classes to get a minor in economics, and then I never got the minor because I didn't fill out the form. But that said, it's supply and demand. When labor supply goes up, the price of labor goes down. And so absolutely bringing in all of these millions and millions and millions of immigrants, they are going to drive down wages. That's frankly one of the reasons you haven't seen wages go up in America the way that you might want and hope, is because you've got this massive increase in supply of labor. And so that will drive down the cost of labor. It's labor economics. Go to the University of Montana and then take economics 101 and then take labor economics, which is a 200 or 300 level course. And you'll learn this stuff. It's real basic. It's real simple. And so, yeah, why do why do Democrats not care about all of the American workers who are having their wages driven down by the massive number of immigrants? Oh, it's because the immigrants are likely to vote Democrat when they get the right to vote from the Democrat Party. So that's why. And so that's why I think that's frankly one of the main reasons driving a huge increase amongst the African American population in support of Trump and Republicans is because they recognize they're you know, American citizens just, you know, they're thinking the exact same thing we all are thinking, which is, this is crazy. This is horrible. You're seeing an absolute revolt amongst the Democrats in the African-American community in places like Chicago, where they're seeing this horrible, horrible impacts from illegal immigration, not even talking about the wages being driven down. Let's go to Frank in Evergreen. Frank, thanks for calling.
Hi. You know, if Biden wants to write off all these college loans, let's write off their diplomas too. I mean, they're equally worthless these days.
Right.
I just think it's fair.
Yeah, I agree.
That's all I have.
All right, thanks. Appreciate the call. Yeah, this whole student loan forgiveness thing is pretty egregious, just patently unfair, just obviously unfair, and then just clearly a giveaway by remember when Rush Limbaugh called Barack Obama Santa Claus and basically said that this is the Santa Claus campaign and this is the Santa Claus administration because he's just giving out stuff, just free stuff, free stuff. That's the Democrat Party playbook, right? Free stuff, free stuff, free stuff. Let's go to Tom in Bozeman. Tom, thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I was watching his oversight committee hearings, you know, questioning Tony Bobulinski, one of Hunter Biden's former business partners and whatnot.
Yep.
And, I mean, my God, they have Comer and those other guys on the Republican side questions. They have emails. They have text messages. They have bank records. They have phone calls. They have photographs of Joe Biden meeting with Hunter Biden's business partners. I mean, the amount of evidence they have, it's just like, it's absolutely overwhelming. And yet the Democrats, you know, they try to say there's no evidence.
Tom, great point. We're up against the end of the show already. Thanks for calling, Tom. Well said. I fully agree, Tom. Absolutely well said. By the way, folks, find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN, on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Twitch, LectureFan. Find me online.